And we're glad you're joining us as we talk about our Bible reading for 2023. Changing directions this year.
Yeah.
And
reading a month at a time now.
Well, a lot's different about the Bible reading this year. We'll say just a word about that. We've talked to the church family about it, but for the benefit of the podcast, just say a little bit about what we're doing this year. As the slide behind us indicates, we're going to be reading through the letters of Paul
right.
in 2023. In fact, we're calling this a year with the Apostle Paul. And the underlying theme of that is that in all of these letters, these are inspired letters. Paul pens, but God is speaking.
Right.
And so we've chosen sort of as a theme with that, we're spending a year from Paul with Paul so we can hear God speak
right.
as he talks to his people, trying to do the same thing that we're trying to do.
Right. I think that's part of the fascinating thing about Paul's letters and using Paul's letters to apply the gospel to our lives as opposed to reading gospels. You know, the gospels always have that biographical aspect. I mean, yes, there's the teaching and commandments of Jesus in there, but it's very much in the context of what he lived and what he encountered. Whereas Paul walks out into a pagan world that's much closer to what we live in than Jesus' Jewish world. And so we very much, you know, see Paul here having to apply the gospel to a lot of situations that, as we do this year,
we
can rig in and draw some lines and say, yeah, same old world. And so the gospel lived in a very similar context.
The details are different.
Yeah.
And the cultures have differences. But I think the fundamental struggle of people trying to be like Jesus is the same in every generation. And
right.
so I think these letters have the ability to speak to us in a powerful way, especially when we appreciate that we're really, it's God that's talking to us here. And I think that's something that's been lost in our generation because the Bible has been so maligned and questioned and challenged that you know, when we get to Ephesians and Paul talks about the submission of wives, you know, everybody sort of jumps on Paul.
Right.
And, well, he was a bachelor. He didn't know what it was to be married.
Misogynist.
And, yeah. And missing the more important underlying thing that Paul is the penman, but God is the speaker.
Yeah.
And when you malign whatever Paul said in Ephesians, you're ultimately maligning God and his plan for mankind.
Right. And ironically, one of the things that we'll see in Paul's letters, including this one that we're starting with this year, is that, you know, even back in the first century, Paul had to defend his apostleship. There were those who didn't think he had, you know, that he really was a representative of Jesus Christ, speaking authoritatively for God in the name of God by the Spirit of God. And so again, same old, the more things change, the more they stay the same, right?
That's right. So our plan is to take one letter every month and immerse ourselves in that letter, read it again and again and again. In fact, we've encouraged our church family and whoever's watching, we'd give you the same admonition. Try at least once during the month to sit down and read the letter all the way through one time. Galatians won't be too tough. That's going to be our
six
first
chapters.
Letter.
You can do this.
but some of the other books like 1 Corinthians.
Romans.
Romans. Romans will be a tough read in one sitting. But challenge yourself to do it because it really does read.
Makes a difference.
It reads differently when you read it that way. And I almost think sometimes the reason we get confused is because we tend to read a little bit and pause and piecemeal
right.
it and not just sit back and say, let me hear all of this in one sitting. What is it that he said?
As it would have been read to an early church receiving this letter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So our first letter is Galatians. We're taking these in chronological order. And so,
as best we can.
Yeah, well, so I was careful to throw Jeff under the bus when we introduced this to our church family
right.
and say, this is Jeff's chronology. So along the way, if you have any criticisms of the order of the books, I'll be glad to share Jeff's email address with you, and you can write and tell him why he's wrong about that. But actually, you know, things like chronology are a bit of a struggle with us because we like neatly ordering things, and the Holy Spirit doesn't always accommodate us on that because it wasn't always his purpose.
Right. And sometimes I think, you know, it's not always quite as crucial to understanding as we want to make it. I think the will and word of God is still clear enough. So while context, you know, historical context helps and can add some things, it's not that we can't ultimately be sure what God wants us to do if we're off a couple of years on the date or something.
Yeah. Let me mention too that we're going to try to give a new podcast every week for the letter we're reading that month. And so our plan is to kind of come at the letter from some different angles. And so in this first segment that we're doing this week, and we'll do this every month with the new letters, is we want to talk a little bit about the setting, you know, where this one falls in the story.
Right.
And so Galatians is a little bit difficult because there are some different ideas about the dating of it and where it falls.
Correct. And given that we don't want the podcast kind of devolve into kind of a long scholarly lecture about the
water. Let's go on for an hour about the dating.
No. We
could do it.
Well, but we don't. But we folks don't want that. We're subscribing to what's sometimes called the South Galatian theory, that this letter was written to the churches established in Paul's first missionary journey, which you can read about in Acts 13 and 14. Again, you know, setting chronology and the background and the context as best we can. So we're talking about Paul's first missionary journey, Acts 13 and 14. And apparently after Paul has traveled through, some false teachers come in and begin to apparently even denigrate Paul's apostleship. That's probably why he's having to defend it to some extent there early in the letter. But certainly we're mixing the gospel that Paul had preached with some false ideas about how people have to be saved and obey God by keeping the law of Moses.
He gets to that pretty quickly.
Yeah.
After his
one of the familiar verses of the book.
I am amazed you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel.
Well, and then pronouncing anathema upon any man or even angel, interestingly, who would preach anything different than what has already been preached.
I can't imagine how frustrating it must have been for Paul. In a time where he did not have the ability to communicate like you and I.
Like rapidly in real time.
Well, you know, so over the years I've preached for some different places, and occasionally I've had somebody that's contacted me because something was going on with them or something was going on in the church
right.
that was concerning and disruptive. And I mean, literally, they can pick up the phone and call me or shoot me an email, and we can literally have an immediate conversation about that, or in your case, a week later, but quicker, nonetheless.
Yeah, appreciate it's, that.
Yeah, we could deal with it. Everybody watching this got a laugh. So anyway, we could deal with that pretty quickly.
Right.
But think about the time it would have taken for the people in Galatia who were concerned about this to inform Paul about what was going on. And then the time for him to
send it back,
formulate what he wanted to say. And however it worked with the inspiration of the Spirit, how he would have moved him in that case, and then getting that letter all the way back to them, you know, these are at minimum months and months and months in between.
It's definitely a slow process. And so, yeah, you know, at the end of the day, Paul's established these brand new churches in Acts 13 and 14, made his return back to Antioch, and presumably somewhere in there, these false teachers come in, trouble the churches. Paul gets word and writes this letter, and for those again who are wanting to read this against the Book of Acts, my recommendation, Paul, as he's squaring his visits with Jerusalem, he mentions a visit in Acts Galatians 1. He mentions a second visit in Galatians chapter 2. I would suggest to you that those two visits Paul mentions are the ones described in Acts chapter 9 and Acts chapter 11. Then Acts chapters 13 and 14, Paul, you know, with Barnabas seeking him out, goes on that first missionary journey. These South Galatian churches are established. Paul returned, Barnabas returned from the journey. The false teachers move in. And apparently are saying that Christians, you know, Gentile Christians have to keep the law of Moses to be saved, which we know was a live issue for a while. Peter even taking flack right in Acts chapter 11 for when he converted Cornelius dealing with Gentiles. That was a hard issue for Jewish Christians.
Wasn't it kind of the issue?
For a while in the early church? Yeah. And that's correct. I think we're going to see this issue keep flaring through a number of Paul's letters.
It just never seems to go away.
And again, especially this year as we're reading these letters, and as we date them, you begin to realize the years roll by and these issues don't go away. Even though they may change their form a little bit, but you know, a reminder that again, 2,000 years later, racial issues and bridges, because it really is. It is a racial issue. It's Jew and Gentile.
It's
Jew and Gentile.
Right.
There was a religious dimension because of the law of Moses, but especially as the years go by, and maybe the strength of the tension over the law of Moses in particular dies down, especially after the Acts 15 conference, when you know Paul and other apostles gather in Jerusalem and put out a unified message, the unified letter that's written right that's right. sent out. It puts it kind of puts an end to some of those religious aspects, but the cultural will go on because we'll still see Paul in some of his letters still fighting this Jew-Gentile tension. Again, which is a reminder, you know, human nature is what it is 2,000 years later. The challenge of overcoming cultural and racial divisions to be one people of God, one body, one assembly. It's still there. And so we're going to get real personal with how we live and where we're still at today this year.
Even after we're determined to come out of culture and
it's so hard to get rid of it all.
Follow Christ, culture isn't done with us.
Right.
It continues to press and try to make its inroads into us.
Right.
And you know, is it a bad thing that I read this and I take a little solace from it because they're really kind of struggling with the same thing that,
right.
that we have to deal with in our time. Again, maybe different issues, but the fundamental struggle of keeping culture out of
right.
us is the same.
That's right. You know, that's exactly right.
Well, so that's the setting in which right. we find the letter.
So we're talking, yeah, and we're talking about one of Paul's earliest letters, you know, probably in the late 40s. So you get, you know, and you stop and think about, you know, the distance from even Jesus' crucifixion, resurrection. We're talking less than 20 years. We're talking still relatively early in the history of the early church. You know, Acts 15 and Jerusalem conference doesn't seem to have happened yet. Otherwise, it would have made sense for Paul to appeal to it in this
that's
letter.
A good point.
As kind of, you know, again, you know, the apostles have already now gotten together and agreed upon this. Why are we still doing this? If that had existed, it would have made sense for Paul to appeal to that. So we're probably talking about not long before that. And, you know, again, we're not gonna quibble over, you know, very precisely years, but if we put Acts 15 in Jerusalem conference about 48, give or take, you know, then this is probably Galatians is probably a little bit before that. But obviously the issue keeps on roiling. Galatians didn't end the issue because Acts 15 is going to happen.
In fact, maybe the Galatian situation is one of the things that created the need, helped to, or contributed to the need for this
kept
meeting
on
in
the
Jerusalem.
Radar. Yeah,
because they just continued to have problems
right.
with this.
Well, it was such a bad problem, and you know, famously in Acts chapter 2, even or Galatians chapter 2, even Peter at one point, you know, struggles with that. And again, it's really hard to, I mean, again, you know, these are not dogmatic points, but circumstantial points. It's really hard to imagine Peter waffling as he does in Antioch in Galatians 2 when Paul talks about that incident. After Acts 15, when all the apostles that were gathered in Jerusalem, there were Peter among them, issued this such a stern and firm word about the relationship between the Gentiles and the law of Moses. So, but there it is. So that's I think the background that we're reading this book against.
Okay, and so as you dig into it this week,
read some of the book of Acts. Go back and read Acts 13 to 14, that first journey. Go back and read Acts 9 and Acts 11 and see Paul's early journeys to Jerusalem when he's first, you know, after his conversion. Read Acts 15, which again, if
yeah,
ours—
I was thinking about that too. You could almost like take— Like read 10 to 15 would be a good segment to read.
Yeah, well,
in Acts.
9 to 15. Paul's, you know, his conversion, his first trip to Jerusalem, all the way, because this letter is in some ways, again, fitting around that early phase, those early years of Paul's Christian life.
The Gentile controversy is there.
It's there.
It's in those chapters.
Yeah.
And so you see it there, and then even out in the field where he's
right.
laboring. He's got these guys following him around, creating this trouble for him.
Well, and then that's right. And then significantly, you know, coming out of Acts 15, which again I think happens after the Galatians is written, but coming out of Acts 15, not only do Paul and the other apostles in Jerusalem there give that firm and definitive kind of final statement, unified statement on this, but it's also the same time that, you know, it's agreed that Peter, you know, will be the apostle to the Jews, Paul will be the apostle to the Gentiles, you know, which is how we remember him most of all. And so even that growing clarity about the nature of Paul's apostolic work that will affect the letters to come.
Let's say a word about reading this, and I'm especially thinking about people who maybe haven't spent a lot of time here, or people that are newer disciples, because I think some of this stuff early you can kind of wade through.
Yeah.
But you get much past chapter 2.
Chapter 3 and 4.
It gets a little deep. Yeah. So listen, if you're kind of going through this for the first time, don't get discouraged with that. My suggestion would be is take the challenge this week just to sit down one time and read it all the way through. I think it takes about 30 minutes.
Oh, at most.
Yeah, to read all the way through it.
Yeah.
And don't try to figure everything out. Just read through it and get a feel.
Words and phrases and ideas, even if you don't know what they mean.
Repeated ideas, yeah. And get a sense of what's going on in the letter. Because I know my temptation when I read is I want to pause and say, okay, I didn't get that. Well, let me stop and figure that out.
Right.
Don't worry about what you don't get. Just read all the way through and get a feel for what the letter is about. And then come on back next week. And in segment 2 of our podcast on Galatians, we'll spend a little time working on the big idea.
Yeah.
What's going on in the book? See if we can help you some with that. And the other thing is along the way, when you encounter sections that are challenging, we want to hear from you guys about that. You can email us or text us, and we want to try to work into our podcast some of the areas you're struggling with so we can make the reading easier.
Especially week 4 most weeks, right? When we talk more about application and even week 3, what's hard.
Right.
Kind of that pattern we
especially
hope to maintain.
Especially the what's hard part. Because sometimes you get hung up with something.
Right.
And it kind of prevents you from getting the rest of the book. So we'll try to deal with those stumbling places that trip us up we don't understand as we go through it this year. And we really welcome and encourage your feedback as we go along. We want this to help the people that are doing the reading together with our church family. Hope it'll be a blessing to you. So the challenge for this week, read through Galatians. Don't try to figure it all out. Just read through it one time in one sitting. Get a feel for what's going on in the letter. I think you'll be blessed for your reading.